8:47. Jim Bulley, business and sports editor for the Korea Cheongang Daily, is here in the studio wearing more of the business hat today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so this week's quote. Honestly, if you said to me, let's say we were in a cafe or pub environment, and you said to me, Jim, well, economic cooperation between the Koreas may turn out to be a more difficult task than expected, I'd be like, well, Jim, how long have you been in Korea?
Well, if I said that to you...
Yeah.
Right.
This is the point. The point is context is everything. Who says it matters.
Exactly. Exactly. And today's quote comes from the man, really, whose job is to promote Korean business, which is what makes it a little bit more shocking.
Yeah. So if they presumably already thought it was going to be challenging, and then they say it's going to be more challenging, it seems to be casting very much a negative light on the prospect for cooperation at all.
Yeah, I mean, this quote goes one step further. So this is, we should probably deal with the quote. This is a Korea Chamber of Commerce and Industry Chairman, Park Young-man. Do you want to read it?
Okay. One thing I've learned from my visit to Pyongyang and the Chinese border to North Korea is that the economic cooperation between the Koreas may turn out to be a more difficult task than expected.
Now that on its own is maybe not that surprising. What's surprising is that Park Young-man is acknowledging that not only is economic cooperation between the Koreas going to be maybe more difficult than people make it out to be, but that China may actually be a more competitive partner for North Korea's economic development than South Korea.
Right. So it's not so much the Chinese opposition to inter-Korean cooperation, but rather the competition that's the factor standing in the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just saying China is maybe better placed. We've got to kind of be honest about it. China has the potential to be a stronger partner for North Korea's economic development. And simply because we all speak the same language and have the same cultural history doesn't mean that now we're necessarily going to be North Korea's first choice.
Are we ignoring the US-shaped elephant in the room here? I mean, regardless of whether China's there as a competitor or not, the biggest obstacle right now is the fact that the US is just not going to green light cooperation at a meaningful level.
And in my experience with conferences, like this was at a KCCI conference on the North Korean economy, it's their third one, people kind of tend to just ignore, like kind of hope that the US elephant in the room is going to resolve itself and just think about the Korea on Korea issues. They tend not to really think about the fact. I mean, I guess the assumption is that this is all taking place once the sanctions issue has been resolved and stuff. That's what they're assuming is going to happen.
Okay, so the US issue is a transient one, whereas we're talking here about permanent issues, like, for example, the fact that you have, according to this quote, ethnic Koreans living in Northeast China. They have a big interest in North Korea's economic development, not to mention they have business experience and a Korean accent much closer to that of North Korea. Is that from the same man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, a large part of the reason why we tend to assume that it's going to be a South Korean-led development of North Korea is because of the fact that until not, you know, fairly recent history, they were one country. But what Park Young-man's pointing out is that there are 2 million ethnic Koreans living along the Chinese border with North Korea, 2 million of them in sort of those three major cities who have a far closer recent history with North Korea than South Koreans do. And there's no reason why they wouldn't turn to them for development help. A lot of those people are very wealthy business owners.
He did point out, though, we have our strengths like sharing the same ethnicity, language and cultural homogeneity. But, you know, that's something that's also shared by those
ethnic Koreans. Absolutely. And as he pointed out, they probably have a closer accent, you know, but they seem far more familiar than South Koreans do. And of course, that's also because the Chinese brand of socialism is closer to the North Korean government system, certainly, than the South Korean democracy.
Let's just quickly deal with this question. Do you have to have any of those things in common to be a successful trade partner? When we look, for example, at the European Union or any kind of trade bloc, countries doing trade all the time with each other without necessarily even speaking the same language, let alone having the same accent.
Yeah, you're right. You absolutely don't have to share any of those features. I guess it's just always been assumed that a sort of developing North Korea that's trying to sort of enter the 21st century is going to turn to South Korea to kind of hold its hand and help it up because of their shared history. And what the chairman of the KCCI is acknowledging is that there's no reason why South Korea would necessarily be the lead sort of party in
but
that.
But is that something that you assumed? I mean, because honestly speaking, not trying to be contrary here, I have for a long time been under the impression that China is North Korea's key economic partner already.
I guess a lot of people kind of, yeah, that is the case now. I guess a lot of people assumed that North Korean development would follow some sort of radical change in government that would perhaps move them further away from China and closer to South Korea.
Okay, let's get another expert's quote on this, just for a little bit of further insight. You've got an academic, have you, from Yanbian University?
Yes. So this is a pretty similar perspective. This is An Guoshan says, ethnic Koreans have abundant experience and know-how when it comes to doing business in China. And continues, once economic sanctions to North Korea are stopped, there's a high possibility that ethnic Koreans will want to do business of their own or act as a bridge for large Chinese companies to jointly enter the market.
And was it this another academic who said that we need to develop a cooperation model between South and North Korea and China, so trilateral?
Yeah, and that was kind of the takeaway from this conference, that, you know, we've got to just assume China's going to be part of this, so let's start thinking about how the three of us can work together.
I think President Moon Jae-in has incorporated this in his vision, not just, of course, involving China, but Russia as well, and railroads driving a lot of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't a new perspective. I mean, it's fairly obvious when you're in this position that China has to be part of it. You know, it's the closest large superpower.
We do business with China. We want to do business. We have to do business with China.
Absolutely. I mean, at this stage, China is Korea's biggest trade partner, I think. So that's kind of an inevitability. It's more about being the top decision-making person, you know, relinquishing the fact that South Korea is going to lead that development and accept the fact that, you know, it's not necessarily going to be the lead partner in that whole process.
I'm not sure you and I will ever see unification. We may, may not. I think a second Brexit referendum at this point, while it's unlikely, is probably more likely than unification within our lifetimes.
In the immediate future,
You know, if that's anything like a comparison drawing on two issues we've been discussing on today's show. Having said that, South Korea does have the advantage of being a potential unified partner with North Korea in the respect that China is clearly not going to unify with North Korea, or hopefully not. Sort of unusual sequence of events.
That's kind of a worst case scenario. I guess the big thing about this quote is that often these discussions, especially in government organizations or national organizations, take on a very sort of nationalistic stance, you know, like this is Korea's right kind of thing. And it's good to have such a high ranking official accepting the reality, kind of the writing on the wall, and thinking about how this can now be used to South Korea's advantage.
By the way, we got like 30 seconds left or something. Brexit, do you think there will be a second referendum?
I hope so. But I honestly, and every hour the news cycle is different. I have no idea what's going on.
All right, there we have a business journalist, a business editor, no less, admitting he has no idea. So don't feel so bad if you also have no idea what's going on in many of these stories. And that's what feeds our show, because it gives us the opportunity to analyze, to ponder, to forecast. And I'll say again, surely there has to be a second referendum in Britain, and surely there has to be more in the way of efforts to coordinate with North Korea. But again, I certainly can't ignore that US involvement for now and for the foreseeable future, especially with President Trump going his way right now. We'll be back Monday at 7:05 to catch up on any developments over the weekend. For now, let me say, have a wonderful Saturday and Sunday, and Friday evening, no less. And stay with us for your latest news headlines and Inside Korea next.